Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be reading the first 14 verses of this chapter. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we are going to begin a new series of sermons on the portion of the word of God given to us in Paul's letter to the Colossian church. And I am, as always, excited at the beginning of a new series, but I think particularly looking at the book of Colossians. In Colossians, Paul, the author, so beautifully combines instruction in the faith with a call to faithful living. We sometimes want to make a divide between those two things, looking first of all simply at instruction, what's our head knowledge, but maybe there's a disconnect between that and how we live. Paul in Colossians beautifully weaves these two things together. What we do is based on what we know. The fact that we have been the recipients of the gospel, of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, affects and influences the way that we live. So in this letter, as we study together, we will see some ongoing instruction, but always woven in, what does this mean for you? How will this make you live? As a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a member of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to find the theme of the book of Colossians, I always suggest trying to find a theme for the book. I would suggest that chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 are the theme of this book. Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 6, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." As you have received Christ Jesus, now walk in Him. Walk according to His ways. The Christian life is not simply an intellectual exercise, something that our brains can think about. But it expresses itself in the ethics that we hold. As you have known the Lord, so walk in Him. in Him. It's a call to Christian maturity, a call to a growing in our faith and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's appropriate as this new year begins that we study this book, that it might be our prayer throughout this coming year that God might help us toward spiritual maturity. God might encourage us, strengthen us, and bring us along on the path of righteousness. It's a call to godly living. Just a few things by way of introduction. The letter does come from Paul. Paul addresses them as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, the apostle, is writing to them. That distinction reminds them that he comes to them with an authoritative proclamation from God. Paul is not simply writing to give them good advice. Paul's not writing to say, this is my suggestion for you. But he writes out of the authority of his office. One who is called by the will of God to declare God's will for his people. That's why it's appropriate for us today as well. It's not just a letter written only to this church at this time. It is the word of God, written to the people of God, that throughout the centuries we might be growing in our faith, learning how God would have us live and act and walk as His church and as His people. Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ, at Colossae. Colossae, we don't have to go through a lot about geography of the ancient Near East. Colossae at one time was a very major city in Asia Minor. Now, when this is written, not quite as significant a city. It's a letter written to the saints and faithful brothers. It's a letter written to the church, to believers. We can see how this just flows over to us. A letter written to the church, to believers, and yet to a mixed group of believers. There were Jewish believers, there were Gentile believers. And how do they all walk forward in the Lord? Again, I would suggest very appropriate for us. How do we, as the people of God who come from different places, different backgrounds, walk forward as His people? Although notice how he addresses them, as saints and faithful brothers. He doesn't first of all say, oh, to you a troubled church. No, he comes to give encouragement to a church that is on the right path, a church that is going the right way, to help them in that walk. There are sometimes Paul will begin his letters and say, oh, this is going wrong and that's going wrong. I'm writing because there are problems. That's not what he's doing here. But he's writing to encourage them, that they might increase in the faith they currently have. They might increase in the walk they are currently experiencing. Again, as I said, a call to spiritual maturity. A call to the church long ago. A call to our church toward spiritual maturity today. Paul is going to begin this letter with an expression of thanksgiving to God. He begins with a prayer for them and about them. And what an appropriate place to begin. Before he's even going to begin the instruction in their knowledge, in their ethics, he says, I am praying for you. I am praying for you. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And Paul is going to give thanksgiving for this church to God, particularly for three things that he knows about them, that he has heard about them. He says, we thank God, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We thank God for the faith that has been given to you. He comes to them to pray for them, to let them know that even though he doesn't know them personally, he is praying for them. Remember, this is not one of those churches that Paul founded. Now, Paul founded many churches, but Colossae was not one of them. We read in verse 7, it was through Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, that you heard this word of truth. He's the faithful minister of Christ on your behalf who's made known to you what God is doing. So Epaphras was the one who planted this church. But Paul says, I've heard about you. And hearing about you, I'm praying for you. And thanking God for your faith. Your faith in Christ Jesus. That they were believers. That they were a faithful church, that they were seeking to live in a way that God had called them to. He begins with thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you, for the faith God has given to you. Notice he says, I thank God. I thank God since I heard of your faith. He doesn't first of all say, I'm thanking you for your faith, as if they were the ones really responsible for this faithful condition. No, I thank God for the faith he has given to you. That you have been recipients of this glorious gift. And by that faith, you have embraced the glorious truths of who God is. I thank God for His work in you. That He is active in you as a body of believers. I thank God since we have heard from your faith in Christ Jesus. And we have heard of the love that you have for all the saints. Paul thanks God for the love that they have. That faith expresses itself in the way that they deal with each other. They have a love, and what does he say? For all the saints. You know, it's easy to love some of the saints. It's easy to love the saints that we get along with. It's easy to love the saints that we agree with, the saints we see eye to eye with. But Paul thanks God that in this church they have a love for all the saints. And as we'll know as we keep looking at this prayer, they didn't always get along. They didn't always agree. They didn't always see the same way. He said that's the kind of love that the church needs to have, a love for all the saints. A concern for all the saints. Paul says, we have heard about that. And we thank God for that. For your faith in Christ Jesus. For the love you have for all the saints. Because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. He thanks God that they have received this blessing of the assurance of salvation. A hope, a true assured expectation. For the blessings laid up for them. And that expectation, knowing that they will spend eternity with God in heaven, affected the way they live now. Their eschatology, their view of the future, affected their ethics. Because they knew they would spend eternity with God, then we better start living like that now. I thank God for the hope that you have, because that hope expresses itself in the way that you live. And the desire to go on and share that glorious message with others. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing. This hope that God will continue to work in and with His church. To bring people in, to bring His chosen ones in, to bring them into the fellowship of the body of Christ. A prayer for thanking God for their faith, for their love. And for the hope that they have. Paul prays for the church. If Paul were writing this letter directly to us, would his prayer be the same? Would he say, "We have heard of your faith. That you recognize you are the recipients of the grace of God. We have heard of your love, a love for all the saints, a love for all the church. We have heard that you have an assurance, a hope for the future, and that affects how you live now." Would Paul say the same if he was writing this letter to us? The letter is a call to Christian maturity. As you have received Christ, so now walk in Him. It's appropriate that we as a church in this century, many years removed from Colossae and from Paul, continue to study this letter and see how thanksgiving to God should motivate us to be the church God has called us to be. Paul begins his letter, his instruction, with thanksgiving to God for them. And then he goes on to pray specifically for them. And in this prayer, in this intercession for this particular church, we learn about how we should be involved in praying for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, first of all, will teach us the manner in which we should pray. Verse 9, "And so," he says, "from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." Since Paul has heard about this faithful congregation, these people moved by the Spirit of God, "I have not ceased to pray for you." Paul prays for them in a continual and deliberate and ongoing manner, thanking God for them, praying for God's blessing upon them, but deliberately, specifically, in an ongoing way, praying for the church. How much time do we spend praying specifically, praying deliberately, in an ongoing way for the church of our Lord Jesus Christ and for our local congregation? Are we regularly bringing the needs of God's people before His throne of grace? Are we regularly, deliberately, in an ongoing way, praying for the office bearers in our church? The elders who lead and guide us, the deacons who administer mercy, the ministry of the Word in our midst. We have not ceased to pray for you. Do we pray specifically, deliberately, in an ongoing way, that we might grow as a communion of the saints? I don't mean grow just physically in numbers, but grow together as the body of Christ. Is that our prayer? That God would by the power of His Spirit bind us together as the people of God. And that God would then use us for the spread of the gospel. Is that a part of our prayer life? In a deliberate, regular, ongoing way. Not a prayer just thrown off casually once in a while. Oh yeah, and bless the church. From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. The manner of our prayer. Continual, deliberate, and ongoing. We learn about the content of our prayer. Paul says, "We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Now, when Paul says we are praying that you be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, he is not talking about God's decretive will, God's secret will. He is talking about God's perceptive and revealed will. In Paul's time, children, they didn't have the New Testament yet. Oh, they had the Old Testament, they could study that, but the New Testament was still being written. And so, interestingly, while Paul prays, and the content of his prayer, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, he will go on them to tell them the will of God. He will say, look, I'm praying you be filled with this knowledge, and I will give you the knowledge of the will of God. I will declare in my authority as apostle what God's will is for you. Now, we don't have apostles anymore today. We've talked about that before. But we certainly do have a revelation of the will of God. He has given us His will in the Scriptures. And so, when we have this prayer asking that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will, it is a prayer that we might be driven once again into the Word of God, and therefore a challenge for us. How much time do we spend in a day deliberately seeking the will of God revealed for us in His Word. How much time do we spend in our private devotions, opening that will of God and letting God's will be told to us through the written Word? How much time do we spend in our family devotions, opening God's Word, that His will might be revealed for us? Paul's prayer, the content of his prayer, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. And Paul says, and this is that knowledge. I will give it to you. Do we make hearing the Word of God a priority in our life? That in the church, when that Word is openly proclaimed, it's the most important thing to us. On Sunday evening, the most important thing to us on Sunday morning, that we might come together and hear the will of God explained, that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Is this our prayer? You know, it's rather easy to say, God, fill us with the knowledge of Your will. But are we taking the opportunities that God then gives to us? He has given us such easy access to Him through His Word. And yet how often the Bible stays closed at home. How often we seem to have time for everything else in the day, but our personal devotion time just gets squeezed off to the side. For us to pray, God, give us knowledge of Your will, and then reject the means He has given us for that, makes no sense at all. We don't pray this prayer and then reject the means of knowing the will of God. Paul's prayer, to put it in modern language, is that they would be students of the Scriptures, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The manner of his prayer, continually, without ceasing. The content of his prayer, that they might know the will of God. And the goal then of that prayer, that they might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Verse 10, so that, I give you this content and this knowledge, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Again, Paul's purpose is not simply an intellectual exercise, but that the Word of God affect our lives, affect how we live, how we act, how we think. And he says, you'll know that you're living this life worthy of the calling you received through various things that you see happening in your lives. First of all, bearing fruit in every good work. A faith that bears fruit. A faith that expresses itself. As we go through this study of the book of Colossians together, as I mentioned, when we get to chapter 3, we will have some very explicit instruction as to how we are to live as wives, as husbands, as parents, as children, that this Word of God, this knowledge of His will, might bear fruit in our lives. That if we are being disobedient to God's will, we might confess that and change and repent and live in a way that is pleasing to Him. We will know that we are walking in a manner worthy of the calling when the Word of God smooths off those rough edges and guides and directs us in the way that God would have us live. Bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in our homes. Bearing fruit in our church. As we deal with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Bearing fruit in the community. What reflection are we giving of Jesus Christ in our relationship, in our dealings with those in our community? That we might bear fruit in every good work. Secondly, that we might increase in the knowledge of God. We will know that we are walking worthy of a manner worthy when we increase in the knowledge of God. Now, Paul has already prayed for them that they might know the knowledge of God. And now he prays that you might increase in that knowledge as an example that you are living in the way he's called you. And we see here an escalation. First of all, that you know the will of God. But the wonderful thing with the Scriptures is the more we know it, the more we want to know it. The more we see God's beautiful path of salvation laid out for us and the way we are to respond to that with thanksgiving and joy, the more we want to know. It draws us in and makes us want to go deeper and deeper. And Paul says, that will be an expression that you are living a life worthy of the manner in which you have received it. A desire to know more. A desire to go deeper. That's the beauty of God's Word. That as we study it, whether that be in Bible study or from the pulpit, it draws us in and calls us to spend more time looking at the truths God has given to us there. We never come to the end of this task. And so Paul prays that you may walk in a manner worthy of the calling, increasing in the knowledge of God. You may bear fruit, increasing in His knowledge. And thirdly, that you may be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. God prays for their strength. Paul prays for their strength. And this will be an expression that they are living a life worthy of the calling. That they might be strengthened in all endurance and patience. And there's a subtle difference in nuance in these words. Being strengthened in endurance talks about dealing with difficult situations. When we find ourselves in hard times, when we find ourselves facing difficult problems, that God would give us strength and endurance. He might strengthen us in difficult situations. That's endurance. Patience. Patience talks about not dealing with difficult situations, but dealing with difficult people. Those who we have a hard time getting along with. That we might be strengthened in patience, in dealing with those people around us. That we not ignore them, that we not write them off, but that as an expression that we are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, we in love interact with them. We in love encourage them. And we in love move forward as the people of God. May you be strengthened in this, Paul says. And notice what he says. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. The strength to get through these difficult situations, the strength to deal with these difficult people, is in according to the glorious might of God. Maybe if I can make an example of what he's trying to get at here. If tonight a very wealthy man walked in our church, a millionaire walked in our church, and he wanted to give a gift to the church. And he took out his wallet and he gave a $100 bill to the collection plate tonight. He would be giving from his financial might. But if he came in tonight and he said, I want to give a gift in accordance with my financial might. I want to give a gift according to the finances God has given to me. That would be a much stronger gift. Paul says, may you be strengthened not just with something, but be strengthened according to the might of God. That according to God's glorious endurance and patience with us, we might be strengthened. How patient God is with us. So often we are those willful, sinful children who continue to go the wrong way, but God consistently, patiently calls us back again and again and again. He doesn't write us off. He doesn't say, I'm done with you. according to that endurance, according to that patience, may you be strengthened in difficult situations and with difficult people. And finally, Paul says, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. You will show that you are living a life worthy of the calling you have received when you live a life of thanksgiving. Giving thanks to the Father. And notice what he says we are to give thanks for. Not first of all, the physical blessings God has given to us. So often that's our first thank you, God, for our homes, and thank you for food, and thank you for cars, and thank you for all the toys that we have. Thank you for all these things. What does Paul say? Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thanking God, first of all, for the spiritual blessing that He has given. He has brought us in to the people of God. He has taken us from the realm of darkness, and He has brought us to the realm of light. He has taken us from those who are lost to those who are now found. He has taken us for those who are sold in sin to those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we begin by thanking God for. That He in His goodness has brought us into this glorious people. We are here because He wants us here. And how that affects the way that we see everything around us, the church, those sitting next to us, those sitting across from us. God wants us here. God has brought us together, living a life thankful for what He has done and for that work He continues to do, continuing to bring His people into His church. So tonight, once again, the call of the gospel goes out. If you are here and do not yet know this Lord and Savior, then tonight is the night to hear these glorious words, that you might be brought in the blessings of belonging, the blessings of being part of this glorious body that God Himself brings together. Bow the knee before Jesus Christ. Confess Him as the one who forgives all of your sins. And know the wonderful joy of belonging to the church. A church that Paul addresses, a church that Paul prays for, a church that Paul will instruct and encourage, a church that God will do the same for. We pray that as we open this letter of Paul together, that God might use this to strengthen this body of believers, not only in our knowledge, but also in the way that we live, that we may be those who say, that as we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so we now by the power of the Spirit walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as we were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise You for the word You have given to us. A word that comes to us in historical narrative, a word that comes to us in songs and poetry, and a word that comes to us in epistle. We thank You for this epistle of Paul, that he would instruct that church so long ago in their knowledge and in their ethics, and weave those two together. Lord God, we pray that You would do the same for us, that through this study of Your word, we might grow closer to You, closer to Your will for our lives, and closer to each other. May we be strengthened in our faith and move forward as Your people. Oh Lord God, help us to be in prayer for Your church, to pray consistently, to pray regularly, that we might all grow in the knowledge of Your will, and that might be evidenced in the fruit that is born, in the knowledge that increases, in the strength that we have, and in the thanks that we bring. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.